This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things on this program, and today we're live from Salem with State Representative Virgil Osborne. A lot going on. Virgil, thanks for being on.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I just jumped off the House floor for a few minutes to come up and speak with you, actually. We're in full session right now.
So let's talk about something that you passed along a bit ago. You have a draft of a bill that is regarding the Winchester Dam. Tell us about that.
Yes, I do. So I've been given a lot of thought, just trying to find a solution to all of the nonsense that's going on out there. There's people that are just absolutely, for all intents and purposes, creating their own story as to why the Winchester Dam is a bad dam. And, you know, then there's people that are defending it. And, you know, my stance on the dam is I support the people that that own the properties, because actually it's not my duty to infringe on their property rights. So, you know, I don't own the dam. It's owned by somebody else. So I had an idea that, and this is just a study bill. This doesn't mean that it's actually going to take effect necessarily tomorrow. This is a study bill with the state that will create a study group of the dam to look at the expenditure, what it would cost, and what work would be involved to actually turn that dam, to basically take the dam out and replace it and turn it into an electric dam, a hydroelectric dam. And with that, we would also include a state-of-the-art fish ladder. And the fish ladder would be similar to what you see if you've never taken the tour up to Soda Springs Dam, which has a fish ladder that not only is it a safe for fish, it also has there's a screen on it that actually, when the water goes through the turbine, it actually diffuses the water so they don't get a false sense of direction when they're coming through. They have to go into the fish ladder. So essentially, the Soda Springs Dam kills no fish. And I think the Winchester Dam could do that. I think the federal government would be the ones that would pitch in for the building of the dam. Eventually, I think the local power companies, in this case most likely would be Douglas Electric, would be the ones that would be able to run the turbine. And I think the city of Roseburg and maybe all of Douglas County could actually benefit from it, because we would have cheaper electricity. It would be green electricity, which fits right into the state's green energy goals.
So obviously this is a pretty big potential idea. Is there a timeline? And of course, you've got to get the legislation passed, but if it gets through, how long would it take to study the bill?
Well, we'll put some guidelines around it. At this point, it's just a study bill. It's actually an LC. I haven't even dropped it as a bill yet. I was kind of looking for some feedback when I actually posted it out there yesterday. And I would expect that we would see a couple of years of studying going on this thing. And then from that point on, if it turns out that it makes sense, then it would move on into the phases of building. The one thing I've learned so far, just from the social media feedback I've got, one of the reasons for posting it was I wanted to see how many people really care about the fish, right? I hear a lot of environmental groups saying, oh, yeah, this dam is killing fish and this is a real problem. So I said, okay, well, let's replace the dam. Let's put in a fish ladder that makes sense, and let's make the dam a working dam that won't kill fish. But it turns out a lot of the feedback I'm getting from some of the folks on the more environmental side isn't about the fish. They just really don't like seeing people own property on a river. They'd rather have access to the lake above the river. But the reality of it is, even if the dam was taken out, the access to the river still belongs to the people that live on the river, and they paid to live in those places, and they deserve to be able to express their freedoms and live in their homes.
So where does this go from here now that you've got this in a draft form?
So I sit on the House Committee for Energy and Environment. So what I will do at this point, I'm probably still going to leave it open for feedback over the weekend. And then what I'll do is I'll drop the bill. We'll have a bill, and then I'll visit with the chairmen of both committees and see if it makes sense to have a hearing on it. If it gets a hearing, and most likely it will, I think we'll get a hearing in the House and in the Senate, and it may well end up going to the House floor. It will create a bit of a fiscal, so there's that issue. But it solves a whole bunch of problems and a whole bunch of arguments and it's good for everybody and the fish included.
All right, we'll come back to that and keep our eye on that as that evolves. Let's go back to Saturday, the meeting at the fairgrounds about the wildfire map. How did that go?
Yeah, the meeting went really well. We had Bob Hart there, who's a retired county, I think he was a county planner. And so he had a lot of information on how to do your appeal for the wildfire mapping. There was a lot of discussion around, really, we walked through the whole process, why we have the Senate Bill 762, what it does, what it means for the people that own the properties, and basically how you can respond. Interestingly enough, during the time period of last week, we had actually, I actually went to the governor myself and had asked for a stay of the hearings, and she did do that. So we still have to get our appeals in. They've got to be in by March 10th, I believe, is what the last day is. They'll accept the appeals to get your standing, but you will have the hearings will not start until the end of this session, which is June 29th, if we don't fix the bill. And the governor knows that. So since that meeting, we have they've introduced Senate Bill 678, I think it is, that is a repeal of the wildfire maps, which would basically clean up the whole thing and take it away and start over. And there's also a bill that's getting traction in the House here that I don't think has been dropped as a bill yet. It's still an LC, but it will also repeal the maps. And it was a really good meeting. I think people have a much better understanding. I was a little disappointed in the turnout. I think we only had around 200 people. I was expecting, you know, 2 to 3 times that.
Now, speaking of wildfires, Oregon OPB's got a story up about University of Washington researchers looking at wildfire smoke in Oregon and the way they have monitored it between 2019 and 2023. Roseburg is actually listed as the 6th smokiest city in America. So talk about the impact of smoke in the recent years on everything from health and agriculture and more.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. Wildfire smoke, of course, is really bad. And unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately, we live in an area where we have a lot of forest. And we decided back in the late 80s that we're not going to manage those forests anymore on a federal level. And so we have an abundance of trees that are not being thinned, they're not being logged, and we're not doing anything that on the federal side, they're doing nothing to manage their forests. So 80% of the fires that we had over the last, since about 2019, 80% of the fires we've had have started on federal lands, and they burned onto private timberlands. Thank God private timber companies actually take care of their property. They do log it, they do maintain it, and they do thin it. Otherwise, the whole darn thing would be gone. I mean, we would just literally be up in smoke. So until the legislature decides that we need to start taking care of our forests again, which includes logging, thinning, fire breaks, which I have a bill coming up for that as well, until we start doing that, we're going to continue to suffer from the wildfire smoke. I don't understand quite why my colleagues on the other side of the aisle don't understand that, but it's hard to breathe in Roseburg sometimes.
Now, one of the things that is pretty obvious right now with all the fast-moving federal government changes, it sounds like that could impact a number of things in the legislature. What have you been hearing about that?
Yeah, we just had a brief conversation about that today, and you're absolutely right. The Trump administration has, as you know, and I'm thankful for, has basically decided that DEI is over. And if you're a state that wants to continue to focus on DEI instead of spending your money appropriately, then the federal funds are not going to come your way. And for instance, in Oregon, we take $1.5 billion a year in federal funding for our schools. And the number that we spent on DEI last year, I wish I had that number, but I know it's north of $20 million. And so at some point, we're going to be faced with the decision. Do we want to focus on the woke programs and diversity, equity, inclusion, or do we want to actually, you know, educate our kids and give them a good education? And we're going to come down to a point where that's going to be a matter of, can the state afford to lose $1.5 billion? Now, that doesn't even take into consideration ODOT, which spent $23 million last year on actual DEI programs. ODOT is broke. They can't afford not to get federal funds, and that's going to be a real big issue right now in our state, because our transportation package, which we haven't seen yet, is potentially going to be very, very short.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more with State Representative Virgil Osborne. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQE. And on tomorrow's program, a two-segment series of interviews, Melody Schwegel of Umpqua Actors Community Theater will be with us, and Dana LaPrey of the Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association. Live from Salem, State Representative Virgil Osborne covering a lot of different things going on, and as we have been covering a number of different issues, one thing regarding the federal funding, not just relating to Oregon's priorities or spending, is the cut of funding for some of the federally provided firefighters. Is there a concern there about that being an issue in Oregon this year if less funds are coming in to do that?
Yeah, good question, Kyle. I think at this point that's not something we have visited. I can't say that Trump would cut that program. I just don't know. But that's certainly a concern, which would lead us to make sure that we have our Department of Forestry well staffed up in Oregon to take care of our own problems. Or we could just, comply with what the Trump administration is asking to do, and we wouldn't have to worry too much about it.
Talk about the committees you're on and what's been happening this week.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So I've actually moved a bill, and I have another hearing today on a search and rescue bill that I've been talking about for the last few months with you. But we moved our OHV bill a couple of nights ago in the Transportation Joint Senate and House Transportation Committee. And the OHV bill I had was a decibel rating bill that took the decibel noise rules away from DEQ and put it in the hands of Oregon Parks and Rec. And everybody, all parties were in agreement with that. So that may have been the first Republican bill that actually moved through the committee and is headed to the Senate and then to the House floor. We also have a bill coming up that I'm actually a sponsor on, and that's a foreign adversary bill. And that bill eliminates foreign adversarial countries from being able to purchase property in Oregon. And I had a visit yesterday, interestingly enough, from the folks from Klamath Falls that came to my office, the commissioners and associated people, but also one of the colonels from the Air Force base there. And little did I know that I didn't realize the Chinese have the capabilities of actually putting things on the ground that can track our F-35s. And in 18 months, we're supposed to get our first group of F-35 jets that are going to be stationed at Klamath Falls. And this colonel was telling me, he says, you know, here's the thing. We need to make sure that we don't allow foreign adversarial ownership of property that we use for training grounds, because they actually have trackers that they put on the ground, and they learn what the signature of our jets are, and they're able to actually shoot them down potentially. So that was just something. They really loved my bill. That's one of those things I didn't even think about. Also, I already spoke about Senate Bill 768, which actually has been on the Senate side, but that's the, 678, the recall of the fire maps. And then in my Climate and Energy and Environment Committee, we just heard Bill 2738, which removes lead racing fuel from Portland International Raceway. And I just can't say enough bad about that bill. That was just crazy. But other than that, we're hearing a lot of bills that are going to result in taxes that are coming up, and too many numbers to list in the short time we have together.
What about housing in Oregon? Both parties have talked a lot about that. I mean, it's really a national issue, and it seems like the whole country is way behind on construction of housing, whether it is single-family, multifamily, apartments, whatever. What's been happening on that front in the legislature, if anything?
There's a lot going on in the Housing Committee, but right now they don't know what the federal funding is going to look like either, so not a lot's coming out of the committee. But the ancillary committees that feed into that, for instance, in one of my committees, we just heard a bill last week, I think it was, that required electric charging stations at 50% of the parking spots in a new development that's five or more houses. So that's up from 20%. So the problem with that is that the contractors are saying, well, that's $50,000 more per door that we have to spend if we have to actually put that plumbing in to make that electricity happen, which runs contractors off. I mean, you're increasing $250,000 or more on a small complex because you're putting those in. My question to the carrier of the bill was, how many folks that live in low-income housing are actually driving Teslas and they need to plug them in? And I got some answers that I won't go into on the radio today, but you can't fix stupid. I'll just leave it at that.
And as we look at, housing in the Umpqua Valley, that's been an issue as well. And it also ties into not just places for people to live, but when people want to relocate, if they want to come to the Umpqua Valley, for example, and are offered a job, finding a place to live that fits in the price range that they're in, that's been a big challenge in this area in particular.
Yeah, well, it just doesn't happen at this point because there's such a shortage of real estate. And that goes back to the legislature because we are not allowing, through our environmental planning zoning laws, we do not allow the expanding urban growth boundary, and we don't allow properties to be built out that are potentially could have several homes on them. But we're looking at things like the wetlands and issues like that that's stopping that building from happening. A lot of bills are going to address that in this session. There's one I'm working on for the city of Roseburg right now that's going to address the urban growth boundary. But those bills are not getting much traction because the majority party up here is more concerned about climate, energy, and environment and saving the, they don't want to build, but they also, I don't know where we're going to put those homes. I guess we're going to have to send people to Portland.
Now, talk about impacts from last year's change on drug criminalization in Oregon when some of that was rolled back from the earlier legislation. What have you heard from law enforcement, et cetera, so far about whether that's making a difference or how much?
Yeah, great question, Kyle. I haven't heard much from law enforcement yet, but I am getting more and more folks that are texting me, calling me, having questions because their significant other, their friend, or whoever now is in jail because they were in possession of drugs. So I know in the rural counties, especially in Douglas County, we have a great sheriff. He actually enforces our drug laws. I know that it's happening. I know people are now given the option to go to drug court. And, you know, those options that used to not be there are now there. And I see a change, and it's going to be a slow change. We're not going to see anything big for measurable probably for the next couple of years. But I believe it is moving that way. People are they understand.
Now, you mentioned that things are kind of moving at a faster pace there. What do the next few days look like on your legislative schedule?
Well, we're actually, we're generally off on Fridays right now. We're still, we're not doing floor sessions on Friday, so I'll be back in district tomorrow. Next week, there is a provider tax bill that's coming up. All the committees are full. We have bills. For instance, this week we had a bill that was very controversial, and that relieves the liability of recreational companies from injury. So, in other words, a ski resort, if you fall and break your leg going down a ski slope, you can, current conditions, you can sue the ski resort even though you chose to be there. This bill gives them some immunity to that, and it ended up taking a whole hour and a half pretty much with testimony on that, so we haven't voted on it, and it hasn't gone to the floor yet. But there's a lot of that stuff happening, and it's just too much to list, but it's crazy and it's fast moving up here, I can tell you that.
Well, as one of the main things with this session is a lot of policy bills, but you've also got to deal with crafting a budget. Is that kind of early in the stages for that so far?
Yeah, they don't want to talk about the budget right now because they don't know what the federal funding looks like. So the budget's going to be, our Christmas tree bill, I think, is going to look pretty thin if we don't start doing some things different in the state between now and June. We frankly, the Trump administration is looking at our state going, if you are going to be the outlier, then be the outlier. Frankly, I'd rather be on board with taking care of our citizens first, and then we can talk about DEI and everything else later. But right now, we really have a potential disaster in the works if we don't change some of those ways.
And does that mean then you've got a deadline of, is it the end of June?
Yeah, June 29th, I believe, is the official end of session by statute.
And some of the things I read this morning seem to indicate that maybe you wouldn't have all the federal data until maybe May. That seems like an awfully tight timeline.
Yeah, I think right now it's just a waiting game to see see if our governor wants to give a little bit. I mean, I think that's where you know, honestly, today, this morning, I sat down on a piece of paper and I wrote up some stuff. I actually posted on my social media, and I looked at all of the different what I call war zones that this state has right now. You have wildfire mapping, you have climate legislation, you have energy costs, people's power bills are going up. You have a transportation package that's going to be really hard to fund without raising tolls and taxes. You have PLAs. You have new taxes proposed on gas and on business. You have gun bills, regulations, DEIs, business restrictions, union labor policies, green energy. Everything that we're doing up here right now, nothing is good. Everything we're doing is not helpful, especially to rural Oregon. And honestly, this is what 30 years of one-party rule gets you. Now we're trying to figure out how to get out from under all the mess that's been created. And, you know, frankly, some of that stuff the Democrat Party is going to have to own because they're the ones that got us here.
And as we get ready to wrap up, now you mentioned being off tomorrow. Any meetings around the district?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, tonight I'll be at the Umpqua Valley Republican Women's Dinner. I guess it's Valentine's dinner that they have every year. And then tomorrow night, I'll be at the Respect for the Law dinner. And then tomorrow, in the middle of the day, we have a meeting with the chair from Economic Development Small Businesses, meeting with businesses in Roseburg. So, yeah, there's a lot going on this weekend.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne live from Salem. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1259 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.